Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. If you're keeping score, yes, we have sung Sweet, Sweet Spirit 2 weeks in a row. But there is a reason for that. It is good to see everyone here this morning. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, if you will turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look this morning at verses 9 through 11 as we look to wrap up our sermon series of New Year, New You, Tools for Spiritual Fitness or Strengthening Our Spiritual Walk in the New Year. As I told you, there was a reason why I wanted to sing in Sweet, Sweet Spirit again this morning, because the tool that we're going to look at to help us strengthen our Christian walk is that Sweet, Sweet Spirit. I want us to look at the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. My hope in this sermon series and my heart in this sermon series is for us to find ways to strengthen our walk in this new year. We're already a month in. And my hope and my heart is that the things that we have talked about over the past couple of weeks is going to help us strengthen our walk and move out of our comfort zone in this next year. I hope that we have learned what we as Christians can rely upon to help us in this upcoming year, no matter what this year may bring. We want to keep our walk strong. We want to keep our relationship with our Lord and Savior strong. We want to strengthen it over time. As a recap, over the past couple weeks, let me very briefly draw your attention to the main points that we have looked at over the past 4 weeks of this month. Number one, we saw that we need to create and maintain a high regard and a high hunger for God's Word. We need to make Scripture a priority in the life of a Christian. We need to incorporate it into our lives, and we need to live it out. The second thing that we saw is that we need to keep a constant line of communication through prayer. We need to keep that line of communication open and going constantly in our life if we want to be strengthened in our walk. Prayer is vital in the life of a Christian. We saw that we maybe need to step out of our comfort zone. We looked at the discipline of fasting and how God can use that in our life to grow our spiritual walk and our reliance upon Him. And we saw last week that we must make church a priority. We must make getting together as a group and a family of believers a priority in our life as a Christian, because that is where we draw strength from. This week, we're going to look at one of the last tools I want us to take a look at that's in the arsenal of a Christian to help us strengthen our walk, and that is the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to be honest with you. As I got into studying this topic and reading through God's Word, I'm going to set out and just be honest with you. We're probably not going to make it through everything God's Word has to say about the Holy Spirit. And we may end up breaking this up into 2 weeks, because there is a wealth of knowledge about the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian that I believe is important for us to take a look at. And I don't want to skip over anything. I want us to read this morning Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11, as we begin looking at the role of the Holy Spirit in our life, as we look to strengthen our spiritual walk. Here's what God's Word says. So then, those who are in the flesh, that's verse 8, sorry, cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank You for Your Word. Father, we thank You for the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You for His role in the life of a Christian and what He means to us, Father. Lord, I pray that we would come to understand fully, Father, just how the Holy Spirit can strengthen us in our walk with You. Father, I pray that You would press upon our hearts the truth this morning. Father, I pray that it would not be my words nor my wisdom, but Yours and Yours alone. Father, speak directly to our hearts. Father, move us in the way that You would have us to go. Father, help us strengthen our walk. Father, so that we can be the light and the salt in this world. Father, again, we thank You for the opportunity we have to read and to study Your Word and to hear from You. Be with us now in this time. Be with our hearts. And it's in Your name that we pray. Amen. The Holy Spirit sometimes is a misunderstood concept in the life of a Christian. Over the next week or two, I would like to spend time digging through God's Word to find just exactly what is the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. You know, there's a story of a young man who came up to an old rich man one day, and he asked him, "Sir, how did you make your money?" So the older gentleman said, "Well, son, the year was 1932. The depths of the Great Depression. I was down to my last nickel. I invested that nickel into an apple. And I spent the entire day polishing that apple, working as hard as I possibly could. And at the end of the day, I went back to the market and I sold that one apple for 10 cents. The next morning, I woke up and I invested that 10 cents that I had made off that one apple and bought two apples. And I spent the entire day polishing those two apples, making them look desirable. And I went back to the market and I sold them for 20 cents. I continued that system for a month. And by the end of it, I had accumulated a massive wealth of $3.50. Sometime later, my wife's father died and he left us $10 million. That's how he made his money. But the story goes on to say this, that when Jesus died for us, He sent us the Holy Spirit, enriching us with all that we need to live in Him. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus often promised in His teachings the coming of a helper that Christians and believers would have. In fact, in John chapter 14, He says this, "If you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." If you skip down in that chapter of John chapter 14 to verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you while you were present, while I was present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." The fact of the matter is that the Holy Spirit was a gift from God, that He dwells with us, And I love the imagery of verse 18 in that John chapter 14 when it says this, I will not leave you orphan, I will come and dwell with you. The Holy Spirit plays a vital role in the life of a Christian as it is God dwelling with us. He lives in us and in our hearts. We are not left alone to walk through this life as a Christian. In fact, God's Holy Spirit walks day by day, moment by moment, second by second with us and never leaves us nor forsake us. And you may wonder, Brother Ryan, you know that promise of where God said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. How is that true? There's a bunch of people. His Holy Spirit lives and walks with us. And what a strengthening fact to know that you are not left by yourself to do it on your own, that God dwells with you. The single greatest and most strengthening factor for a Christian is to know that God is with you through His Spirit. As I begin to kind of open this up, this sermon up this morning, my mind keeps being drawn back to the old poem, the footprints. The man looks back and he sometimes sees two tracks of footprints, and then sometimes he sees one track, only one set of footprints through the sand, and he turns around and asks God, God, where were you in those times? And God says, those were the moments I was carrying you. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He sent us the gift and the blessing of the Holy Spirit in our life. And over the next couple weeks, I want to dive into the wealth of knowledge that God's Word has about the Holy Spirit. Now, there are some things that we need to know. Number one, the Holy Spirit has always been. He is eternal. In fact, if you go back to Genesis in the creation, and you read Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit has always been. He is eternal. He is God. You have God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He has always been. He was there in the creation narrative. The Holy Spirit is also God's gift and blessing upon believers. Oftentimes, Christ would say, it is to your advantage that I go. Because when I go, God will send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit, into your life. He is a gift and a blessing that must be understood by Christians. And so I want us to look this morning at a couple of things. I've got 2 points I want to point out from Romans chapter 8, and then we're going to flip over to Ephesians chapter 1. But the first thing I want us to see this morning from Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11, is this, that the Holy Spirit brings life. The Holy Spirit brings life. Go back and read those verses with me in chapter 8 of Romans very quickly. But you are not in the flesh, but are in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The Holy Spirit brings life into something that was once dead. The Holy Spirit produces through the power of God. God working through the Holy Spirit produces life. For those who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You know, one of the things that I have always struggled with as a Christian is the sharing and the evangelizing of my testimony, and I always get nervous about it, and I don't know what to say, and I don't know how to put things together, and sometimes I stumble over my words, and I just don't know what to do. And I have come to the fact and the realization that my words will never save somebody. It doesn't matter how hard I preach from this pulpit. It doesn't matter how much sweat I pour out or how loud I get. Nothing that I say will ever change the hearts and minds of people. It is the Holy Spirit that does the changing. It is the Holy Spirit that gets in our heart, that convicts us, that moves us, that changes our lives. It is nothing we can say. It is the Holy Spirit that brings life into a dead heart. Through the power of the Almighty God, the Spirit that dwells in us, the Spirit that was there to help God raise Christ from the dead, brings us the promise of eternal life with Him. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 says this, not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. What was the first fruit of the Spirit? It was Jesus Christ being brought back out of the grave. God raised Him from the dead, and in that we have a hope of the adoption, of the redemption of our body, as God's Word says in Romans. The Holy Spirit brings life. You know, we are in the midst of winter right now, but sooner or later the weather is going to warm up. And one of the first things I know that many of us do here inside of this church, and many of us have, is a garden. And we go outside and we take little itty bitty seeds sometimes, and we plant them in the ground and we cover them up, and we begin to watch a plant come up out of the ground. And we plant and we work and we work in the garden. We get it all ready. It's ready to go. We've planted the seeds. We've covered them up. They've shot up with a plant. But what is it that gives us the hope of the crop that is to come, the harvest that is to come? It is that first fruit that appears off of a plant. We plant 100 tomato plants, and we're just not sure if they're going to come in. We don't know what the weather's doing to them. We don't know how they're going to be. We don't know what they're going to look like. But then all of a sudden, that first little tomato appears. And what happens in those who have a garden, we start to get a little excited for the harvest that's going to come later on. Christ was the first fruit. He was the first to be born of the dead. God raised Him from the grave. The grave could not hold our King. The stone that was rolled in front of the grave of the tomb could not hold. It could not seal Christ inside. God raised Him from the dead, and in that we have a hope of eternal life because of the Spirit who dwells in us. Just as the first fruits that develop in our garden give us a hope of the harvest to come, so the resurrection of Christ as the first fruit of the Spirit gives us hope of the redemption from our wages that we owe of sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says this, "And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power." It is the Holy Spirit that changes lives, that brings life into a dead heart. But I love what it says in these verses of Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11, when it says, "The Spirit of God dwells inside of you." The word "dwells" means to set up home, to set up a place inside of us, that He lives with us. The Spirit is not one of those things that just leaves and comes and goes as He pleases. He is with you at all times. Now, many of us as Christians try to quench the Spirit, hold Him back, push Him away, because it may mean that if we come into contact with the Holy Spirit and we recognize God's voice in our life, that that we're going to have to follow him, but so we just hold the Spirit back. But the fact of the matter is he never leaves us. He is with us there to strengthen our lives. The Spirit dwells in those who are saved. But how are we saved? Brother Ryan, how is it that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our hearts? The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith. We are saved by the confession of our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life and is Lord of all. All that have been saved by the grace of God have been blessed with the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the Bible says that he dwells in us. I want to bring your attention very quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And listen to this verse very carefully, because it says this: Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? The Holy Spirit dwells in you. You know those moments when you know you're not doing something, or you know that you're doing something you're not supposed to do, and that little voice is saying, hey, this isn't what you're supposed to be doing. The Holy Spirit is moving. He's getting a hold of your heart because he dwells in you. We carry God with us wherever we go. And that means a lot. When we go into work, he's there with us. When we go to the movies, he's there with us. When we're in the car by ourselves listening to music, he's there with us. When we're at home watching TV, he's there with us. The Holy Spirit doesn't just leave. We just don't drop him off at the door and say, you wait there and I'll pick you up on Sunday and we'll get together and go to church. He's there with us at all times. He dwells in our hearts. The Bible says, do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? A dwelling place for God's Spirit in your life. The Spirit dwells with those who are saved. The Bible also says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, that because of sin, death reigns in our mortal body. He says, your body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit brings life. He also goes on to say that but though we know that those whom the Spirit does not dwell are not of God's. That's important for us to understand. If the Spirit does not abide in you, then you are not a part of God's family. And you may be saying, well, Brother Ryan, how do we know if we're a part of the family of God? How do we know whether or not we are saved? How do we know those things? I'll give you two tests. Number one, has there ever been a time in your life where you have humbled your heart, that you have confessed your sinful heart and admitted your sinful heart to a holy and righteous God? Have you believed that Christ was God and that he came into this world to live a perfect life, but that perfect life brought him to the cross of Calvary where he shed his atoning blood for you and for me to bring you about forgiveness of sin? And because of that act, confessed Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. From the depths of despair in your heart, reaching out to him, knowing that he is the only way into salvation. It's as simple as the ABCs. Admit, believe, confess. Has there ever been a point in time in your life that you can point back to and say, yes, Brother Ryan, this day, this time, was the day I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I surrendered my life to Him. For me, it was 1992, February. I can remember even as a young child understanding that I needed Jesus Christ to save me. I didn't understand what it all meant. I didn't understand every aspect of it, but I knew I needed Jesus Christ. I knew I needed Him to save me. And from that time, I have grown in my understanding of what Christ has done for me. That's the number one test. If that's not happened, the Spirit is not there. The Bible tells us that very clearly. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. But the second test is this. There is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit produces in the life of a believer is this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The second test to see is the fruit of the Spirit. Is your life, is it marked by love for others? Is your life marked by joy even in the troubling times? Is your life marked by peace and patience, kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? Because those are the fruit of the Spirit that dwells inside of us. And church, let me be honest with you. This is not a grocery store where we can go up to the counter and go, I'll take a little bit of peace today and I'll take a little bit of joy today, but the rest of it can go. It's an all or nothing. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We don't pick and choose what we want. These things must be evident in our life. The Spirit produces these fruits. A true dwelling of the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's not a hit or miss. It's not a I'll take this and that. It is the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to look at that very quickly. Notice that it doesn't say the fruits as if these are separate. This is but one fruit producing all of these things in our life. And here's the thing. We can't produce those fruits on our own. We can't produce joy in troubling times on our own. It's not going to happen. It's not our nature. We can't exercise self-control on our own against the wiles and the deceit of the devil that offers us everything this world has to offer. We're not patient. In fact, just get in a car and get on the interstate and you can tell we're not patient. It is the fruit of the Spirit in that it dwells in us that gives us these fruits. Because He dwells in us and brings us a new life. We are a new creation. So my only question is this for you this morning. What does your life say? Is there a time that you've admitted, believed, and confessed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And is the fruit there? Because the Bible says that the Spirit dwells in us. He is a strengthening factor. And look at what He produces in our life. Knowing that the Holy Spirit brings life into a dead heart ought to help us want to strengthen that life, help us to want to grow that life. The Holy Spirit has already done an amazing work in your life, and He wants to continue it if you will let Him. And the last thing I want to point out this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Let me read this to you this morning. In Him you have also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Not only does the Spirit bring life, but the Spirit is the seal of Christians. The Holy Spirit is our seal. The Bible says very clearly in Ephesians that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. He secures and preserves our eternal salvation in the indwelt believer. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 says this, who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as our guarantee. The Spirit who dwells in you is your guarantee of the hope we have in the future of eternal life and a life beyond the here and now. John MacArthur says in his commentary of this verse in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, that Paul was referring to a seal that would go on a letter or a document in the old times. And many times when they were sending out these letters, they would mark them with an official seal that would identify who it was sending the notice or the letter or the document. And because of that, he said there were four truths that that seal signified. And I want to touch on these very quickly this morning. Number one was security. You know, in Matthew chapter 27, you go about reading about Pilate talking to the guards and the leaders of the time, and he says, I want you to go and seal the tomb and put a guard in front of it. You know, when we send letters so many times, I don't know about y'all, but I hate getting the envelopes and licking the edges. It just doesn't taste real good to me, and I hate trying to seal it. So a lot of times what you'll see people do is they'll take those embossing steps and they'll seal that letter in the envelope. It's a security. It's knowing that what is inside of that envelope is not going to go anywhere unless it is broken and somebody sees that seal and breaks that seal. The Bible says that what is in the hand of God, no man can take away. We have a security in the promise that God has made us. The guarantee is the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. I don't know about you, but oftentimes the devil tries to deceive us as Christians, and he's tried to deceive me by telling me something like this: God is done with you, you are washed up, you are too bad, God can do nothing with you, God surely can't save somebody like you or save somebody like that. But the promise is that we have a guarantee when the Spirit dwells in us that we are sealed forever. When we truly give our life and surrender our life to God, we are His, sealed with the Holy Spirit. What's that old song? Signed, sealed, delivered. We're in His hands. Nobody take us from Him. The second thing a seal would often do would provide authenticity. How do you know something's real? When it has the seal. Obviously, a letter with a seal from the President of the United States would indicate that it's an authentic letter from him. by God's dwelling spirit in us, we are marked as his real children. It also means and signifies an ownership of something. When you seal it with your seal, it means it belongs to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, for you were bought with a price. You are not your own. You belong to God, and the Spirit is that seal that shows that you belong to him. And last but not least, the seal would often show authority over something. The seal was meant to show authority over something or someone. God is our guide. He is our leader. The Holy Spirit is his guide in our life and in our heart. From now until eternity, you belong to God. You are a part of the family of God. He has sealed you with the Holy Spirit. Next week, I want us to look at that the Holy Spirit is our strength. He is God's presence in our life, that he is our teacher, he is our counselor, and that he is the one who testifies through us of who Jesus Christ is. But church, please come to understand this morning, and the invitation is simple. That we only have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We only have his powerful, sealing presence in our life when we have given our hearts to Jesus Christ. Fully and completely. Admit, believe, confess. And if we take Christ into our heart, the Holy Spirit in that moment comes in to dwell amongst us and produces the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He is a strengthening tool in our life. He can help us take each and every step if you will let him. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning? If you're here this morning and you can't remember a time that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's the day. And the Bible promises us that if we do that, he sends his Spirit to dwell in us. That we are a new creation. We do have that new life that is in us. Our hearts were once dead. But the Holy Spirit brings about life. God brings about a life inside of us. And maybe today is the day that you need to take hold of that. Maybe today is the day you need to come to this altar and God is tugging at your heart. The Holy Spirit is already working, saying you need to be saved today. The altar is here. All we have to do is admit, believe, and confess. Maybe we're here this morning and we've pushed the Spirit back. Maybe we've held him at arm's length saying we don't want it to change our lives. Maybe we just need to let go. And let God's Spirit begin to dwell in our hearts and produce that fruit that he's called us to produce. But he is the new life. And he does seal us in the guarantee of our inheritance. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, it's now in this time that I ask that your Holy Spirit begin to work in our hearts and move us. Show us, Father, the path that you would have us to walk and the decisions you would have us to make. Father, be with us in this time of invitation. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us now as we sing our hymn of invitation, Just As I Am?